and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in lovely Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the one and only mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folk. Mickey, how have you been?
I've been well, Rob. And you?
Yeah, doing well. Busy time indeed, isn't it? You know, the curtain is now just starting to come down on the height of summer, and boy, oh boy, what a summer it has been. The news flow for the market certainly not taking a break. We're going to do a deep dive into gold once again. Mickey, cracking $2,000 an ounce, wobbling a little bit perhaps since then, but still above $1,900 an ounce. What's been your take on how bullion has been moving?
Well, I'd like to start, Rob, by reviewing when we last talked about gold, and that was on April 1st. Mm-hmm. That was immediately after the flu fears, or let's call it the pandemic panic plaguing the planet, wreaked havoc on gold. So the month of March, extremely volatile. It started on a high. It got as high as 1680 in early March. It went as low as 1474 on March 19th, 18th and 19th, mm-hmm. which is still the year to date low. And then it rebounded before we talk back to 1680. So mm-hmm. I will brag by the fact that I bought gold the day before it hit its yearly low of 1474, so I missed it by about $10, but pretty pleased with that.
All right.
Since then, it settled in at 1700 plus or minus through early June, and then it's starting building with a really strong uptick. Went to 1800 in mid July, and then it went nearly exponential. Too far, too fast. Hit 2067 on August 6th when it blew past all the records of September of 2011. 1895 exceeded the all-time record of gold on July 27th. And then we've been in this slight correction and building a base in the low to mid 1900s.
And through that stretch, Mickey, there have been very notable developments in the world. Let's talk about the most recent one, because that was just last week. We saw the U.S. Federal Reserve Chair Powell come out and announce that the U.S. Central Bank is going to be a little bit more relaxed concerning inflation. The target will be allowed to rise above 2%, where it's been, I think, for about 30 years or so. And the big takeaway I'm hearing from that is that the Fed is going to keep interest rates lower for longer. What does that mean for gold, and how are you viewing the Fed announcement?
Well, no one knows, and that was reflected in the gold market. It went up and it went down. It was extremely volatile mm-hmm. last week with these two or three days, 100-day intraday lows and highs. No one quite knows what it means. It closed Friday on the high end of that at 1957 an ounce. Mm-hmm. But with Labor Day looming here, another 5 days of trading with thin volumes, I expect volatility to continue next week.
Yeah, you talk about a volatile reaction. I think it was within the first hour of Powell's speech, we saw gold sell off just over $70 an ounce, and I'm glad that you brought up the thin trading volumes. That really does set the stage for a little bit of a strap-yourself-in ride, and it'll probably be that way until, what, maybe mid-September when the real money gets back into the market post-Labor Day?
Yeah, I would think so. Mm-hmm. We would expect the market to be back in full mode on September 8th. Labor Day is the last day it could possibly be this year on the 7th. But mm-hmm. It was on Thursday that Powell spoke, and the price of gold went up, $35? Mm-hmm. And immediately spiked down $60. So this No, the gold market, the gold bugs, the gold traders, the gold speculators did not really have a clue as to what this Fed program, I mean, it was a bunch of gobbledygook, in my opinion, for the most part, really meant. So here's what I do know. Mm-hmm. We are no longer making higher highs and higher lows.
Yep.
For the last 11 days, and with, you know, we'll see how this plays out, but the case can be made right now that we may be on a path of lower lows and lower highs, which is not particularly bullish for the immediate market. But the fact remains we're still way above the 50 and 200 day moving averages.
Yeah. And the other big story that I was referring to, Mickey, maybe a month or two ago, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. Now, this was a real headline grabber, coming out and announcing that it had put more than $500 million into Barrick Gold stock. And what really grabbed people's attention was the fact that Buffett's got a background of dumping on gold. He has not been a big believer in bullion as an investment.
Well, he didn't invest in bullion, did he?
No, he bought the Barrick Gold mining
stock.
Yeah.
So, you know, the media like to make a big deal of that, but, you know, I'm going to be a curmudgeon about that and say he didn't buy gold. He bought one gold stock.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly didn't buy any bullion that anybody's aware of, or if he did, he's not announcing it. But if you look at the amount of Barrick he bought, it's something about 0.3% of his net investments.
Yeah.
So it's not much. And if he was really bullish on gold, he commonly, when he moves into a market, he'll buy five or six different companies. And so far, he's only bought Barrick. And to tell you the truth, it would have not been my choice of a gold company to buy because of its exposure to geopolitical risk in Africa. I bought Newmont if I was going to buy anything. Okay.
Well, we don't really know just yet, I don't think, if in fact this was Buffett's decision. He's got a bunch of deputies that are putting money into the market as well. It could very well have been somebody else and not necessarily Buffett's call. As you mentioned, in the grand scheme of things, it was a pretty pretty tiny investment.
Yeah, I bet he approves any investment that amounts to, what was it? $500 billion.
Yeah, just over $500 million U.S. Yeah.
Sorry, I said billion. Mm. I think I had a Joe Biden moment there.
Oh, that's a low shot. Come on now, let's keep the election out of it.
It's got nothing to do with election. It has to do with someone who's slowly losing his mental faculties, I think.
Okay. When you look at the level of the U.S. equity market right now, Mickey, trading at or near record highs, and you mentioned that we're looking at lower highs for bullion, perhaps lower lows, which really doesn't give you a great feeling about upward potential perhaps from here, but that doesn't really take away from the argument, does it, at least according to you, I believe, that you should have some bullion in your portfolio?
Well, absolutely. I've said this for years and years, and I've put my money where my mouth is. I first bought gold in 1979 at the then all-time high of about $330 an ounce, but that's worked out pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I will propose that anybody with assets ought to have 10 to maybe even 20% of their net wealth in what is real money. That said, I would consider that gold's fundamentals are very bullish right now, and I wouldn't be chasing gold, try to buy it on dips. You know, there's lots of reasons why we think that gold's got upside at this stage.
Is jewelry demand losing its impact on the overall price movement, Mickey? I ask you that because we've seen demand out of India so far this year, I believe, down more than 50%. Is it really losing its punch? Is it all about interest rates right now and the U.S. dollar movement?
Well, I think that the demand for jewelry or gold in India, and bear in mind what they do is they take gold and they trade it and they melt it down and make some new jewelry out of it. Mm-hmm. But I would think that that demand is down because of weakness in the rupee and the cost of gold in Indian currency. Mm. Most people there don't have access to dollars. That said, the Indian demand season is upon us. So that was one of the points I want to make. The seasonal trend for gold is on the uptick right now, and that will continue through mid-October. And really, it is driven mainly by Indian wedding and festival seasons in a normal year. That said, this is anything but a normal year.
I was going to mention that because, you know, India, like every other country, has been hit by this COVID pandemic, and a lot of people there losing their jobs, perhaps having to work for less money. Maybe that lays the groundwork for a much different wedding season this year.
Yeah, it's not the first time that it will have happened if it occurs. You know, there's lots of things right now that contribute to a bullish outlook on gold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I like to make lists, so I'm going to read through my list.
Sure.
And so I'm essentially on the teleprompter here, and I'm going to try to do what Joe Biden does, read from the teleprompter.
Okay, go for it.
We have negative real interest rates worldwide, and in some instances, nominal interest rates. So that's bullish for gold. Deflationary environment so far. That's really equivocal. Some people think it's bullish. I think inflation or deflationary environments are bullish for gold. We've been increasing money supply, quote, money supply, worldwide fiat currency inflation. That's certainly good for gold. We have central banks with economic stimulus worldwide. Safe haven demand is driven by civil unrest, and we've had some of that in the U.S. lately. China-U.S. relations, that's geopolitical. And then once again, this worldwide recession that's going on. So I've given you seven reasons now, and let's go to number eight. Well, we've already talked about that, Rob, and that's the seasonal trend.
Right.
One thing we should bear in mind, that gold is up 29% year to date. What a run-up we've had.
Yeah.
So if it pulls back here, we would probably welcome that. If you look at a six-month chart, it's got resistance near its current level at about 1940, some pretty strong resistance. It's been bouncing up and down from perhaps a low of 1905 to a high of 1975 intraday over the last few days, or last 10 trading days, let's say. Then if you look at the six-month chart, there's no resistance at all till you get down to 1800. And then the next resistance below that's really strong, and that's about 1720. So it does have some downside, but like I say, we're in a seasonal trend, uptick of gold. A lot of what's been going on lately is it bounces up and down depending on the U.S. dollar. And we've had a considerably weaker dollar. It's down 8% since this whole flu thing hit back in March. So that's how we originally hit an all-time high in gold. 8% U.S. dollar is an 8% jump in gold. And then finally, if you look at other safe investments, bond yields are very low, money markets, CDs, anything that's considered a safe haven investment other than U.S. dollar and gold right now, are paying less than 2%, which is the Fed's inflation goal. Anything that you put in as a safe haven is you're losing. And gold keeps up. It's what it always does. You know, you could have bought a top-of-the-line suit made a major suit in 1920 for the price of an ounce of gold during the Depression in 1935 for an ounce of gold. In 1980, you could have probably bought two suits for the price of gold, but certainly when gold stabilized in the 90s, around 80s and 90s, around $400, mm-hmm. that's still a really good suit. And man, you can buy a really nice suit, maybe not an Armani or a Versace, but you can buy a really nice made-to-measure suit for $1,900 right now.
Well, you've got a few of those in your closet. I believe you've got a guy in Hong Kong, don't you?
Yeah, and I do not pay $1,900 for them, but I haven't been back to Hong Kong, no. And I have no intention of going to Hong Kong right now.
No.
Even if this flu moratorium on traveling into foreign countries was pulled, I wouldn't go to Hong Kong right now. And actually, he comes here twice a year.
Okay.
It's major U.S. cities.
Well,
I think the last time I bought a suit in Hong Kong, it was $1,100.
So. Okay. Well, I was going to say 1,900 Hong Kong dollars, but that's obviously not quite up to snuff. So $1,100 U.S. and you got a beautiful suit. Pretty hard to beat that, I guess, isn't it, Mickey? I just got one more question I wanted to ask you. When you look at how gold is being trading right now and that long list of factors that you believe will continue to support the price and give it some upside, further upside potential, will this feed into further consolidation in the gold mining industry?
Well, certainly it will. And I've been somewhat surprised by the lack of M&A activity, but I think that's going to be coming. I don't really play in that game, but you could play that game in mid-tiers that look like takeout targets. Not a bad way to play the gold mining market. Mm-hmm. I tend to look at the Toronto Venture Exchange, the Advanced Explorers. They've run up crazily over the last, since mid-May. Kind of taking a breather now with the dip on gold. So, I'm trying to buy some select explorers on dips. I'm also looking for early in opportunities, new plays, looking for good clean shells that will move at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Just contrarian sort of usual opportunities. And the main thing I'm doing right now, and I've been doing this for certainly 6 weeks, and that's take profits. I'm selling more than I'm buying right now. I'm taking interim profits in tranches of stocks that ran way up and set, 52-week or in one case, 4-year highs.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Take my money out of those and then look for something that has yet to run up. So,
If
you're not contrarian, as Rick Rule is known to say, then you are a victim in the market.
Well, in that part of the market that you're talking about, Mickey, pigs do get slaughtered, because it can be a very unpredictable area. Let's wrap it up on that.
I think all markets are like that right now.
Yeah.
The Dow is now in positive territory for the year.
Mm-hmm.
The NASDAQ has set all-time records 6 of the last 7 days. S&P 500,
yep,
6 days in a row, all-time records. These markets are overbought. They're frothy. And if you're not taking profits throughout all these run-ups, you will get burned, folks. Do not be greedy.
Okay, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, great stuff. Good to catch up with you. We'll do it all over in about a month's time.
All right, thanks a lot, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.